Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
There is none like Him. There is none like You, Lord. We declare today that there is nothing. There is no one in our lives like You. You are the love of our lives. You are our purpose. You are everything that we live for. And we live the remainder of our lives for the day that we stand before You, Lord Jesus. The spirit of joy to uplift every low heart. Every heart that has been laden, troubled, overwhelmed. The spirit of joy and the garment of praise. In the name of Jesus, it engulfs every heart, and the joy of the Lord becomes a reality for you right now. In the name of Jesus, the joy of the Lord becomes a reality for you right now. And everything that seemed to be a mountain in front of you is flattened right now. And in joy you'll walk over in the name of Jesus. Challenges of a financial nature. I am seeing school fees. I'm seeing debt. All made flat. The joy of the Lord makes those things seem insignificant. I'm seeing something of a medical nature. In the name of Jesus, somebody who received a medical report today, and is not here right now, but is listening. In the name of Jesus, the joy of God, the joy of the Lord sweeps through and overturns every negative report. In the name of Jesus. Somebody becoming, somebody who is facing eviction from the house, from a house, the Lord moves on your behalf to sort that issue miraculously. And so shall you know that from this day onwards, rent shall not be a problem again for you. Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus, because Your joy is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And we shall walk in this joy, and we shall accomplish great exploits with the joy of the Lord. I thank You, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, because Your joy has touched each and every person in this place, and all anxieties and all fears and all trepidation, premonitions of negative things, every fear has been washed away by the Spirit of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, I thank You, Father, because the Spirit of the joy of the Lord engulfs this place and nobody remains the same. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. God is good. You know, a number of things which are amazing me these days, is how the so-called gospel of prosperity has come under a lot of attack by the people of the world. And so much so that people who were once affirming and perhaps even symbols of the prosperity of God are now backtracking. And some of them are very powerful people. And now they've come out saying, you know, we think we're a bit out of balance. God wants us to be humble. And so on and so forth. And you know, it's amazing, because there is nothing as discouraging as somebody whom you've looked up to and whom you picked something from, and you went and affirmed it because you believed in what that person was saying, to come back and now come back and start, like, backtracking. You know, that's a really terrible thing. But you know, The scripture says in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25 that he shall speak, this is talking about the Antichrist, words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and intend to change the times and the law. First go to, give us a different version. Okay. He shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change the time of sacred feasts and holidays and the law. Give us King James, the old King James. He shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Now you see, at a time when in the world people are now coming, I was seeing somebody the other day, I'm sure you saw it at an award ceremony, saying, you know, they thank Satan for blah blah blah, you understand, for winning an award. And that was honest. You see, they have been hiding, but now they're coming out of hiding. But we know where they, you know. Now somebody actually came out and said that, you know, Satan is the most misunderstood person. You know, he's actually a good person, but he's misunderstood. Now, you see, the people come, now they are coming out and saying, speaking words against the Most High. And they are saying, you know, God wrongly judged him and so on. You know, he's misunderstood and all that. And that's the beginning of deception, you see. Now, and I told you the people who end up in the devil's camp are not those who trust, who do not believe in God's power. There are people who do not believe in God's justice. The biggest way the devil defeats you is by not believing, by making you not believe in God's justice. And that's why you find people, you look at most of the atheists, it all starts with, you mean all the billions of Muslims are going to hell? Then suddenly, God looks like what? A very unjust person. How can you just send people to hell? And you see now, you're trying to sit on a throne which is not yours. You're not a judge. You're not the judge of the world. But Abraham said, shall not the judge of the earth do right? So you leave it to him. Now, but you see, when they start making you question, is just now, all these people, they come out here now. But you see, it says, he wears out, he seeks to wear out the saints of the Most High. How does he wear them out? You know, I tell you, somebody can start strong and get worn out by constantly fighting. And then eventually they do what? You become worn out and you kind of get weary of battle. Even the great prophet Elijah says, ah, let me die. Because you've done powerful things, but you don't seem to be having an impact. Then he says, now God, just let me die. I've had enough of this. Because he has been worn out by Jezebel. Now, so the spirit of the Antichrist seeks to wear out the saints. Now, what wears them out? There are certain things which, when a culture changes and changes so rapidly, then certain things which you know to be true become so unpopular that there is such a resistance against even saying them. Now you go to the church in the West and say exactly what the Bible says about homosexuality, and they don't even have to call the LGBTQ what rubbish. Your very church people are the ones who attack you. Now you see, it's easy for you to handle the other ones because you know they're adversaries. But if you stand up and say something, and your very church people are the ones who stand up and say no, how can you speak about against same-sex marriage? And like, the culture has changed and everything has seemed to change with it. Now people are getting worn out. That's what Jesus says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will do what? Grow cold. So now you realize that there has been, like, people speak against prosperity, and then people first resist it. Then the devil actually scores points when he gets the people within the church. You understand? Now it's different if some LGBT stupid person comes and attacks me. That one I can handle. But imagine if Apostle Abraham said, how can you speak about it? I say, I thought we were supposed to be believing the same thing. Now you see, that's where the betrayal comes. Now, this one will wear me out. The other one will not wear me out. That's why I can fight until kingdom come. Because I know we are adversaries. He doesn't believe like me. And there's, you know, we are in conflicting sides. Now, you know, even bad things can be handled from adversaries. You understand? Like, I remember I was seeing a football match and two players of the same team started exchanging blows. Now the opposition stood and looked and were amazed.
Now you can understand if opposite teams are exchanging blows. That one is understandable, isn't it? But imagine two players from the same team. So even the referee was shocked. So he came and gave both of them red cards. And the opposing team just shut up and played against nine men. But do you see what I'm saying? Eh? There are certain things which now he scores marks when the people from within, the people who are supposed to be believing, like you come out and now they are the ones who are fighting you. Then you get worn out. Now the scripture says a man's enemies will be those of his what? Household. And now when you don't expect that, so many things hit you. Actually, Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 2, or start from verse 1, "These things have I spoken to you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever kills you will think that he is offering a service to God." You understand? Now, you know, there is nothing like when the culture changes and the people of God actually become villains of society. When you stand up and speak something that is of God, you are a society villain completely. The people who fight you are not even the outside people, they are your very people who claim to believe like you are the ones who fight you. And then when they fight you, they think they are doing God a favor. Okay? So you always come against. And now, you know, the reason I'm telling you this is because I felt the spirit of serious persecution, which is going to come before the actual unveiling of the, you know, eh? You know that always happens. First the test, then the what? The promotion. Of serious persecution and coming from people who you think are supposed to know better. Now, but you see, Jesus said, "I told you before they come to pass," so that when they actually come to pass, you know, I'm not shocked when Apostle Abraham, okay, I'm not him. That's just a joke. Is, you know, I say, okay, I expected that. Now, when it comes, do you know, like, there's something about something you don't expect that is so difficult. And all powerful moves of God have been extinguished by people within, not without. Because everybody kind of has the mindset to deal with who is without, but not within. Now, you see, in Mark chapter 10, verse 20, let's say 8. "Then Peter began to say to him, 'See, we have left all and followed you.' So Jesus answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands.'" Notice it also says left the wife. "Or land for my sake and for the gospel's." You see, there are certain... Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? And that by extension might mean husband. Now you say you're saying they should leave. No. But if the person is a stumbling block, am I the one who wrote those words? Praise the Lord. So Jesus answered, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother." Let's skip that one. "Or children or lands for my sake or for the gospel's." Praise the Lord. There are some people you have to leave for the sake of the gospel. Do you know it even says children? Okay. Let's go ahead. "Who shall not receive a hundredfold in this time? Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands." You see, it eliminates wives. Because some of you might say, eh? Some of you might get a revelation which is not there. With what? With what? And in the age to come, eternal life. Now you see, people will allow you to preach the gospel if you preach it poor. They will, like, there's something about once you get houses, what? Lands, Range Rovers, what? It will always come with persecution. Always. Don't deceive yourself that you'll be prosperous and you're not persecuted. If you're lying yourself, you will be persecuted. But Jesus says it's coming. But you receive it. Receive it with the persecution. And don't let the persecution make you deny what God has done for you. Praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." So if God has given you powerful things and it annoys somebody, annoy them the more. Let them, like you annoy them, put it in their face. You know, I was listening to some prophet who was from Southern Africa, who was being interviewed on what. And they're telling him, you see, you're even driving a Bentley. Then he said, hey, which one are you talking about? Then he said that, hey, the other one. Now, do you know that one is 2015 model? I have just sent for a 2017 model. That was the year they are seeing a new Bentley. So, you know, I've even got a second one. Now, the guy wants to be apologetic, but you say, no, actually, there's another one. Then he says, now, you see your word is, but they have been sent for a private jet. Did you know that? That, no, I didn't. Now, do you know how that disarms him? Because if they can get you, how can you be apologetic? The whole world is chasing after wealth. How can you apologize for being worthy? Are you kidding me? Now, you see, it will come with persecution. And by the way, that's where the biggest persecution is. Biggest, money. Now, when there is money, somebody told me that some pastor said, you know, when I went with those guys there and what, and I called them my prosperity anointing, because they were contributing money for something, and I put in money which was like more than 100-fold what the second person was putting. The second person after me, eh? Then the guys who received it said, Kakati, to have a ticket. Telling, not me, telling the pastors who I was dealing with, Mwatandi so kuria kusente za mbonye. Now, you know, it abuses me because those very guys are going to go to the president and humiliates them for very little money and makes them look. You wait, you see, they are meet apparently February 7th. For very, very little money, he's going to make get there and tell them how NRM brought freedom of worship and all that rubbish. And you see, they have codios now. Eh? You know, we know, we have to tell you some of you people. Like, if somebody comes and says, like, there's a lot of gold money, gold dealer, gold what, gold deals, don't get into those things. Because they are going to kufera you, and they are being sent into these fellowships on purpose to kufera people. And then you have to ask yourself, people come and giving fake testimonies of miracle money. Then the next thing, the president is saying that these preachers who are preaching miracle money, how sure are we that he didn't send them? Actually, he did send them, I will tell you that. Then the next thing, gold deal, gold. You know, there is gold somewhere. There is a river of gold. For us, we know the river which flows from the throne of God. The river of God, not the river of gold. Now, then the next thing he says, these fake gold dealers, it's all a mupango to try and... Now, if you fall for it, your wisdom is small. Because after all, I've now warned you. Praise the Lord. Now, but 100-fold in this life with persecution. Praise the Lord. Now, if you are not ready for that, everybody is comfortable with you until the time of your harvest comes, which it has. Eh? Then you will see persecution. Praise the Lord. Then you see what? Because you make people look foolish who have made themselves to be sharp. Praise the Lord. Now, I remember that time of the kissing of the prophet's shoe. There was a cartoonist who put in monitor when like the prophet has removed all our brains and was putting them in a basket somewhere. And like what? Eh? Now you imagine when I go there with my 2019 Range Rover and I tell me now, you who has brains, how long with that car, stupid salary of yours at monitor, is it going to take you to buy this car? So show me what your brains has given you. And I show you what my being brainwashed has given me. Praise the Lord. Now, that's why they have to persecute. How do you expect them not to persecute you? Because they think they are clever and they are stupid. Now, so a time comes when their stupidity is flashed in their face. A bank is telling you a mortgage, what? And I read some of those things, by the way, and it is very, very, very sad. Because I was reading some guy saying he went to the bank to get a mortgage for a house for 40 million. Now, how good a house can you buy for 40 million? Huh? That has got to be some place. Eh? Those ends. Eh? Praise the Lord. But then he said, they calculated insurance fees, what fees, what interest, what, blah, 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 everything. Eh? And in a period of 10 or 12 years, he's paying back 120 million. Like that is kuchina completely. How can anybody who is not brainwashed believe it? Okay. I think you have to be brainwashed to see that for what it is. Like, when are you ever going to live in your dream house? Do you understand? 120 million? That is robbery. Interest rate, 27% or something thereabout. Then what? Then what? You ask these financial people. You look and say, even dark. Like somebody flashes money in front of you and they are offering you chains instead. Take this money and we tie you in chains. And the wise among them have golden chains. And the stupid have been tied with ropes. But all of them ultimately are what? Are chained. So the ones with golden ropes are the ones who put on ties and suits and have a car, that cut thing on them, eh? Which they use to open what? Doors in offices. And man, they look important. The car on loan. Eh? Everything on loan. And that's what they are presenting as brains. Praise the Lord. The chains. Chains. Now, if you escape that, there is no way they can fail to persecute you. Like, you have to be persecuted for being rich. And now they're experts at wearing you out. But do you know what it means to stand up to say something which is so unpopular among people? And where even your very people, you're scared about them, whether they will. But you see, Jesus said, the beauty of it is the Lord said, you know, you did not have to what? You did not sign up for popularity. And you have to settle that in your mind. I didn't sign up for popularity. So when this time comes, the time that we are now, with every good thing, every hundredfold, every harvest, comes persecution. Praise the Lord. You're ready for the harvest. Are you ready for the persecution? You should be. Don't care. Who? I mean, really. Do you understand? Like, they want what you have. They can't get it. If not yet, then they will soon want what you have. Or else they will go and they give them a mortgage where they are paying 3 times the amount of money they got. 3 times. Like, the only worst robbery I know is when somebody uses a gun. But that is real robbery. And that's the so-called money mortgage. And you're getting a house of 40 million and paying 120 million. Can you imagine? And what even the house even you get for 40 million will be fake. By the time you're finished paying 10 years later, it's not even good enough for your, if you were, praise the Lord. You know, there are certain things which I wish people would understand how you can easily get off that system by learning one thing. How to trust God. Now, that sounds academic until you actually get to the point where you have to trust God for something. And you're trusting God for something which is real and you have to trust God for it. Now, if I asked you that, do you trust God? You'll say, yes, I trust God. The other day, I had a dream when like I was staying in a story house up there. And I was, they were surrounded by people with guns, all of them waiting for me to put a head out and they hammer me. So I was like, at first I thought I was hearing gunshots, and I'm thinking, what are these people doing? So I walk to the balcony, and then I sit down and I see a guy who has been there waiting for some time for me to come. Then the guy aims his target at me. Then I withdrew a bit. But the meaning of the dream is that, what the dream was communicating to me, that you know what that means, eh? It comes out better in Luganda. So if you don't know Luganda, now, here is the thing. There was a time I could have received a dream like that and I'm scared, you know what? But I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Like, you cannot, there's nothing that can scare me. Nothing, 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 nothing. Praise the Lord. Nothing. Because God is with me. Glory to God. And I have heard throughout the years. Now, trusting God, let me tell you this. I've told this story before. Let me say it again, just for the benefit of some people, because I'm feeling late to speak. I remember a while back when I was going through a tough financial time, and one of my biggest expenses was rent. So I would pay every 3 months. And when the 3 months came up, I would be so tormented. Where am I going to get the money to pay this rent? And somehow, I still had my attachments the other side. So there are people I could call and say, man, get me $1 million, then get me $1 million, then get me what? Say somehow I piece together and get it done. Then I spend the rest of the 3 months paying back those people. Somebody say bondage. So one day, and every time I would do that, I would dream when I'm sitting a mathematics exam and I failed. Now, you know, those dreams of exams actually just tell you about of a test in your life. Exams. What comes after an exam? If you pass, promotion. What comes if you fail? Retake. So, you dream when you're getting a retake. You failed there. Now, of course, sometimes the exams, what kind of exam determines. Like, for instance, mathematics is almost always, if you dream you're in mathematics exam or economics exam, it's almost always finance. Now, if you dream geography, it means something else. Like there's some girl who was telling me, you know, I want to move out of my father's house and go and get my own house. Then she was asking me whether I felt it. So I said, you ask the Lord. And she told me that very night, she dreamt when she had failed the geography exam. I said, stay in your father's house. Geography means location, you understand? Now, chemistry means chemistry. You understand? Like dreams just get things which you know. Like the way you say there is chemistry between me and that what? So when you dream when you fail the chemistry exam, you are in trouble. Don't make the proposal, because you will be flushed. And you don't want that on your CV. So first make sure you pass the chemistry exam before you go and say, will you marry me? But you first passed it yesterday. Okay, but you know, but you know what I'm saying, So I dreamt when I was failing a math exam. Then the next 3 months come, then I do the same thing, then I fail the same math exam. Then one day I went, I'm sure so many of you have heard this over and over again, but it's my story to teach you something. One day I went to some rich man who is my friend, and I told him, I want you to lend me 4.5 million shillings. I'm going to pay it to you at this time. Now I don't borrow money and I don't pay. So I was going to pay for him. And now the man told me, now my land lady had told me by Tuesday you need to have the money, or she had even threatened to call court bailiffs to throw me out. Now you don't need court bailiffs to throw me out. You just need to tell me leave the house and I go. But she wanted to maximize the thing for purposes of embarrassing me. How do you call court bailiffs to send somebody out of your house? It's your house, I know it's not mine. Just tell me to vacate and I will. But the chief said, she even contacted court bailiffs. And they came. So on a Thursday, I went and talked to that guy. I told him, call me tomorrow. Then I called him. No, he told me, call me on Monday. So I charled. Then Monday I called him, and he wasn't picking my calls. Then Monday evening, I somehow go to Rugogo here, and the guy is seated there. And I look at him and I get a revelation. This man has no plans to give me the money. You know, you can tell. So when he sees me, I say, okay, that one, Chochiganya. Then, so now I'm saying tomorrow, this man has now let me down. So I sit there. Now even the coffee is not that good. I'm thinking. My mind is like a siren. So I go home. Before I went to that guy, on Monday, I first prayed and said, God, this time, you know, I trust you. You're going to do this. Then on Thursday, I was with somebody asking for money. Then on Monday, I was back with who? With God. Now, he told me that when that man told you he's going to give you the money on Monday, you even enjoyed your weekend. That's how much faith you have in him. Then he told me, if only you'd have as much faith in me as you have in men. Now, look, he has even disappointed you. And I sat there and said, okay. Then I said that day, I vowed in my heart that I will trust in you, I will trust in you. Let the weak say, yeah, I'm strong with the strength of the Lord. So, I said now, if she chases me out, let her chase me out. I kind of like got hardened my heart and said, I will not be the first. What? Then I said, Lord, your word says that no one trusts in you and is put to shame. So I said, I am not going to be the first. And I settled it in my heart that whatever happens, I'm not going to fear. I'm going to wait for God to do something. If he does not do it, I'll leave the house. And over go away, I didn't know. But I said, I'm going to trust in him. Now, the one thing that first happened is Tuesday came, the court bailiffs didn't come. But I was kawa. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, nothing. It's like she had forgotten. I think it took a week to remember by which time I had the money, miraculously. And I paid her. And that was the last time I ever had a problem with rent, ever. And maybe even ever. Now we're even going into ownership, praise the Lord. Now the man who was my friend, I would meet him I met him afterwards. I would meet him. And I see he's ashamed and what. But deep down I'm saying that the best thing you ever did was not to give me that money. Like, he thinks I'm angry with him, yet deep down I am very grateful that he never gave me the money, because he took me to the next level. And actually, not just that. Now, here is the thing with God. Like, you pass a rent exam, then he gives you other things. Because after that, my financial situation started going like this, permanently. After that, now, there's a reason the Lord is leading me to tell you this. Because when you get to that, it's better than a PhD. Do you understand? Because there are people who have PhDs who have no money, who have no jobs, who are still scared about their job. I cannot be scared about anything to do with finance, because I trust in him. Now, when somebody came to me, and you see, you meet this, and somebody was telling me, how do you do, where do you get this money? I say, God. They say, okay, we know, but where? Like, and it's so difficult to communicate, because you learned something, like a certain thing was broken off you. Any sort of dependence on man. Praise the Lord. Now, do you know what makes it so easy for people who started out well to get diverted and they end up in things? Because of money. Now, do you think there is anything, for instance, like a politician or what can come and give me? Like, even if you are giving me how much, it's going to run out. What I have can never run out. Like, it is God's resources. I actually say it's like an ocean. You go there with a cup, you drink. You go there with a jerry can, you drink. You go there with a trader, you drink. The ocean remains the same. That's how God's resources are. You don't diminish it at all. It's just your faith which goes higher, higher, higher. So you go with bigger, bigger containers, but the ocean remains untouched. Praise the Lord. Now, like, there's a confidence that comes when you understand, when you trust in him. Now, you can say those things, but you actually don't. You can say and you think there is some other system. And now God cuts off all those things. You think there is another way you can make this happen. You know, I know somebody I can call and they do what? They sort me out. Do you know whom I know? I can call so and so. And then you've taken yourself off the system of God. Now then somebody comes and says, me, I know God. And I will get what I want because I know God. Praise the Lord. Now, with persecution, praise God. You get all these things with persecution. And now, the persecution will come for money and for supernatural. If you preach anything that's not supernatural or does not seek to change people's ways of thinking, nobody's going to persecute you. They have nothing against you. Glory to God. But then you can never enter the realm of dominion which God wants us to dwell in. Now, the reason people get worn out is because they cease to have the joy of the Lord in what they are doing. And that is the devil's biggest tactic. Just make you do something out of obligation rather than out of joy. Praise the Lord. Now, make you turn a ministry into a job, or even anything into a job. You know, there was a gentleman called C.S. Lewis, who was a very big thinker. And he said that in his writings that there was this big devil and small devil. And the big devil assigned the small devil to go and make sure that somebody whom they are watching does not go to the enemy. In this case, the enemy means to Christ. So they are saying this guy might go to the enemy. So they are trying to watch him out to go to the enemy. Then the small devil goes and tells the big devil that, sorry, the guy confessed Jesus yesterday, so we've lost him. So the big devil asks, how did you lose him? Then the small devil says, because he woke up every morning and enjoyed his morning walk. And then in the evening before he went to sleep, he read a good book and enjoyed it, then went into sleep. Then the small devil, or the big devil, said, that's where you made a mistake. You should have made him walk for exercise and read that book so that he can tell it to other people. Now, how many of you get the revelation there? You see, anything that you do under compulsion, even the things you enjoy the most, let them tell you now you have to do this. You tell me you have to take a certain number of cups of cappuccino a day. Then the whole joy goes out. Yet previously I was enjoying it. You understand? Now, in this, the moments of the message behind that is, if he can't stop you from coming to preach, he'll make sure you come to preach for some motive. I wish I did this. Then you get occupied with other things. Then the thing which matters, the relationship with the Lord, the love, the communion goes out of the way, and now you're just a functionary. You're just doing things out of, you know, mukodo. Then the joy goes out. Then you get burnt out. Now, the biggest thing in ministry, even in some kind, people get burnt out and they say, I'm tired of ministry. I've gone. And they go into trading and it's a known thing. Ministry burn out. Because how do people burn out? There is no joy. The things which you enjoy, singing, what, doing that. Like, let somebody tell you you're doing it for this purpose and not for the love of God or, you know, out of a relationship and so on. Eh? Like, I don't know what example I can give you. There's a lot of religion among people. That's why even when people dream sex dreams, they're even scared to come and ask for interpretation. Yet actually, they are never what they think they are. Eh? It was contaminated by the devil, not by God. Now, so imagine anything, even like, there's something I'm trying to put forward here, that wearing, the enemy wearing people down comes out of them forgetting to enjoy the things they are doing for God. Praise the Lord. If you are not enjoying it, you are just another step away from it becoming. Then you come, then you don't feel like it, then you what, then you're saying, man, now it's Friday, I have to go and preach again. You know, there are people who are like that. Like, where it has become a job, it's no longer something interesting, it's not something you enjoy doing, and then the downslide starts. Because lawlessness will abound. And now Jesus said that when the Son of Man comes, shall he really find faith? Shall he find faith? Now, the faith is maintained by trying out new things. Trying out new what? Every time you stop and stand, everybody who I've seen who has gone off the boil, and people whom once looked up to and have gone off the boil, one thing happens, they reach a certain point when they think they know everything. Number one. Number two, they became unteachable. They stopped learning. Now, that's the point at which everything else starts going on a downslide. The point at which you lose interest in what you're doing. Whatever it is, not preaching, even business. Do you know people who enjoy business? Like, I've seen people who actually love business and they enjoy doing business. Now, imagine you are in films and you're, you know, shooting films or writing films and you're not enjoying them. Like, you'll have a burnout. There's, like, you become the most miserable person in the world. Imagine if I didn't enjoy teaching what or doing what I'm doing, and I have to do it every Friday, and it becomes a means by which I earn a living. But you see, I don't earn a living by coming here to preach. I earn a living by trusting what? This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. All that your job is to just praising my Savior all that day long. What do you do? This is my story. This. What do you do for a living? I say, this is my job. Praising my Savior all that day long. I asked you, what do you do for a living? Perfect submission, perfect delight. This is bad. And that's it. Like, that's what you do for a living. And now, of course, you have to keep yourself busy. So you have to go to some office and what? And do the work of creating dominion so that people come into the kingdom of God. But your actual work, perfect submission. Now, do you know how much pressure that takes away? When perfect, really, really, truly perfect submission to God. Now, then you understand what he meant when he said that unless you receive the kingdom of God like a child. Like, a child doesn't care. If I'm having rent problems, my child doesn't care. Like, he's in his own world. Somehow he has to have a roof over his head. That's not his business. Praise the Lord. Then also me, his father, it's not my business. I also have a father who has to make sure that I have to have rent. Praise the Lord. That is the life that God is calling us to this year. Don't go into burdens and what. understand that you can actually totally trust God. And he asked you to do it. He says, casting all your cares upon him, because he cares. Okay? Am I the one who told him, God, let me give you my burdens? No, he's the one who asked for them. And I said, hey, you want them? There they are. Perfect submission. Perfect. Like, the how, man, life's good. Praise the Lord. Life is what? So when you sit down to praise, like, you live a life of complete praise and not of grumbling. People are grumbling because they are carrying burdens. Me, I'm not carrying any burden. If the devil can put any burden on you, did you see what the other guy did? Did you see which car the other guy is driving? Did you see what? I don't care. I am also driving some car of some description. Even when I wasn't driving it, I was still perfect submission. Like, the car is not the cause of. You understand? Eh? Now, then you understand that godliness with contentment is a great gain. So you have godliness and you're contented. Yeah, if I'm having whatever I have, eh? God is good. And like, that I know. I know God is good. I know. Do you know, like, I was talking to somebody the other day. And I realized how religion can completely change perspectives. Actually, I remembered a time when I was so used to carrying burdens that one day when I woke up and there was nothing disturbing me, I seemed to have everything sorted, and I was there sitting enjoying myself, I started feeling guilty. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Then you say, hey, but how can I be here enjoying? Eh? Yet there are poor people on the streets. You have to, because like you cannot just enjoy yourself. Eh? Now, then you realize that. Then you say, but what haven't I done? I think I'm here enjoying, but I think I haven't prayed enough. Like, you're just guilty of being happy. Because you don't believe God actually wants you to be happy all the time. And now that's what religion does. Eh? Like, it soils him a bit. Now you start, you're feeling this burden. Even the ministry becomes a burden. Then people are going. Then you have to call them. It's a burden. Then what? This is a burden. Burden, you know. Do you know what happened to what? Do you know what? Whatever. Now, Athanasius is no longer coming to fellowship. I'm going to be praising God. Eh? And I hope wherever Athanasius will be, you'll also be what? Praising the Lord. I'll be fine. Eh? I'm going to be fine one way or the other. Praise the Lord. That rich man who refused to give me the money did me the biggest favor anybody can do. Because he took it, I entered another level. Now some of you are saying, but really, how can I? How do I cross that bridge? How many of you want to cross it? Now God is going to create a scenario for you to actually cross it. Eh? Now, but you have to actually believe. Do you know the things which you fear the most? When you put them in context of God, how silly and stupid they look. Like rent. I had made rent be high and lifted up above everything. Do you understand? Eh? Then when you put God high and lifted up, then rent becomes zero. It comes down. Eh? But there are people who lift things up. Now they worry. And you know even the what? The other guy, who's whatever is coming to an end, was saying that you have to work hard. Eh? Teach people how to work hard. Eh? Wealth creation. But you know that is kuchini. That is kuchini. What do they call it? Eh, that is making a mockery of people. Wealth creation. One family has taken all the wealth. You're telling people wealth creation. Wealth creation. Your family has taken all of it. Like, do you see how, like, you listen to those people and it's a total mockery. Amidst all this buffering of gold and what? Eh? There is gold what? Did you know that actually this country exports $800 million worth of gold every year? Fact. Who takes that money? The man who is telling you wealth creation. And he's taking all of it. You work hard if you want to work hard. For me, mine is praising my Savior all that day long. Like, that is making a mockery of people. The wealth that this country has, if you get real figures, as I am now getting, because I have to be in the know. Eh? When you get real figures, you really see how people have been taken for a ride and how they have been excluded from the discussions of the things that actually matter. Like, they take you away from the things that matter and they leave you there on what? Discussing. Tuliambalengude. What do you think about that song? Do you think it is what or what? You know, they asked me and I told them, don't waste my time. Like, how can somebody reduce you to discussing such things when there is $800 million of gold somewhere, but they have excluded you from that conversation and for all the minerals? How many people are discussing oil in Hoima? Even the people who are there have been taken off the discussion. Do you know what they told them? that for you plant mango trees and what the people who come to extract the oil will need to eat mangoes. That's what they were told. Can you imagine how he, like that, butabaramba to magis. And then there was even a man who came and started repeating it. You know, they told us we should plant mangoes, and I'm looking at him saying, first of all, when is a mango tree going to come out? You plant it now. By the time you get your mangoes out, they have taken millions of dollars worth of oil. And the people who are right there, they extruded from the conversation. Praise the Lord. But it is only by the anointing that we take these things back. Because if it wasn't for our God, you see these people, they made calculations for everything else, but they cannot legislate on He who created the heaven and the earth. Now, if it wasn't for Him, we would have no chance. Do you understand that? Eh? Because people have laid out their plans, even, you know, those things. But we are going to just wash over all those plans, and we are going to end up on top, and there is nothing they can do. They will send their other fairy to come and try to do what? They will do what? Like, there is nothing. Because I will trust in you. You are my hiding place. Hallelujah. If it wasn't for the anointing, we would have no chance, by the way. Even this harvest which is coming, there are people who have been given the hard work. Do you understand? But God is amazing. Like, there are people who have been working hard. They are working hard. Now, if you believe in their gospel, you will also join them. Now, for us who are in the gospel of this is my story, this is my song, we'll just come and kuyora. And that, now that there is nothing they can, this year, just make sure when it comes, you are not apologetic. Don't make anybody apologize for what God is doing in your life. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. You can't. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you know it even seems unfair? Some of you even say, but God is unfair. No. It is a righteous thing with God to make certain people collect, and then He selects whom to give it. Do you know why? Because He's a king. Kings don't have parliaments. They don't have what? They don't have to account to anybody. You see, some people don't understand how kingdoms work. In a true kingdom, even in these kingdoms of ours before, when they were actually kingdoms and not just cultural domes, if the Kabaka says that I have given you the Saza of Bulemezi, even if he's drunk, it is yours. Once the word comes out of the Kabaka's mouth, it is done. All you need is a witness. Praise the Lord. Once it comes out of his mouth, even if he's drunk, it stands. Then you just take witnesses and go to Bulemezi and say, the Kabaka gave me this land. Now all of you, I want Busuru. Then the people say, who was there when the Kabaka said that so and so was there and so and so? They say, okay. Then they start giving you Busuru. Now the Lord God who created all this earth, He has the right to give anything to whomsoever He wishes. Like it is, He's the king. If He gives you something, there is nobody who can take it away except yourself. Praise the Lord. And He doesn't have to account to anybody. He doesn't have to speak. Like all that words, I've given it to you. It is yours. Take it. Then you say, thank you very much. Then your employer becomes your employee. Now, do you know that thing which I was telling you there? I was looking at it and said, there are certain incredible things. You remember what I was telling you about theories last week? About if by reason of strength, then afterwards they what? Now you are going to see strength. You're going to see strength which you have never seen before in the church. And the people who are the least likely candidates are the ones who are going to get it. Now, the only way the devil can defeat you is by telling you, you know, you have to work hard. Don't let people deceive you. Work hard, work hard. There are people who are working hard. Praise the Lord. God has done that all the time. The king of Egypt worked hard and Abraham came and took the wealth. Abimelech worked hard, Abraham came and took the wealth. Praise the Lord. These things have been happening all the time. And God is the same. So there's some, can you imagine somebody is working hard for me? Me, I'm praying in tongues, enjoying cappuccino, sitting on the balcony of my house, and just loving God, because there is none like Him, singing, Te wari no muha kwenkana. And then somebody is working, then I'm singing, Te wari ha kwenkana, what? The next thing I know, the world is in. Praise the Lord. I want you to understand that even as the persecution comes. And it's not just going to be for the money. It's also going to be real persecution. You're going to see, then immediately after the tribulation of those days, then you see the real harvest. And it is going to be like it was in the days of Daniel, where people come and say, there are these Hebrew guys who will not worship the Lord. Then they put you in a furnace. Then at the end of it, the people who reported you are the ones who are put in the furnace. And for them, they die. And for you, you don't. You just wind up on top. And then it said that you were going to be on top. It was in the king's mind to make those people be on top. Like, and the book of Daniel is end time 3:1:1. The whole book from beginning to end. Exactly how it is going to be, where Daniel is on top in spite of the resistance. You understand? Eh? There is resistance, there is anger, there is vitriol, but he's on top and they cannot do anything about it. Somebody say, that's me. My middle name is Daniel. Somebody say, my middle name is Daniel. I am going to be on top, even if it angers everybody. I will still be on top. Now that's what God is doing for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Speak in tongues, everyone. Just speak in tongues and receive what God is doing here today. Father, I thank you that your joy stays among us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we shall not... What's your name? Sorry?
Mousi Nkembo. Mousi Nkembo.
Nkembo.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I'm seeing a new season in your life. Eh? I'm seeing a new season in your life.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you graduated and you... Some father says, have you graduated?
Yes.
And... But you have not seen the promotion you're expecting.
No.
It's still the same, like you're still at the same level and you're saying that you've not received the promise of what those books.
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
Now, and you know it's even not easy to be reading books at your age, but now the promotion that you expected from that new qualification, I hear the word leadership. Eh? Leadership. What did you study?
Management and leadership.
What did you study?
Management and leadership.
Okay. Now, you are entering into a place of leadership. Eh?
Thank you, Jesus.
In a new place. Eh?
Thank you, Jesus.
Eh? Something which comes up and, you know, hold my hand. And even all your family, eh? I see a lot of, like, kusirana in your family and things like that. Now, you are... Father, I thank you because he's a light, a shining light in his family, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And the gospel that you have been preaching, now you are going to be the embodiment of it, the grace of God, the ability of God to lift you,
eh?
And make you very fruitful.
Thank you, Jesus.
In a way that, if like, okay. Now let me tell you something.
Thank
eh?
You, Jesus.
I am seeing you getting a job where you even have a driver and a car.
Thank you, Jesus.
Eh?
Thank you, Jesus. I receive.
Do you expect? Have you been thinking about that?
Yes, sir.
Eh? Now I'm telling you, God is going to astound you.
Thank
where
you.
It's really the shampoo, like it's completely out of, even out of your expectations.
Thank
eh?
You, Jesus.
Like you are being driven,
thank you, Jesus.
And you know, then people in your family are saying, man, like a bitarabiamuta. Eh. Now something is happening, a new season, eh?
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. Rikabaza, the favor of God is upon you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I'm seeing an NGO, like something NGO world or like something in it. Have you applied for anything in NGO world?
Not yet,
but I see something coming in that.
Amen.
Eh? Because what I'm talking about comes. Okay. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. No more struggle. Eh? No more struggle.
Amen.
No more struggle.
Amen.
No more struggle.
Amen.
Even with your offspring. Eh?
Amen.
No more struggle.
Amen.
This grace spreads to them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Father, because came in up at the top.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. First come. What do you do? You're a student, eh?
Where?
Ispat.
Eh?
Ispat.
Sorry?
Ispat University. It's a Lugogo bypass.
Eh, okay. I'm seeing a ministry. Like, are you aware of that?
Not sure.
Huh? Am I seeing, are you doing something like some kind of engineering, like technical? Okay. IT. Now I hear the word excellence. Eh? What's your name?
Benjamin.
I hear the word excellence and the spirit of excellence rests upon you.
Amen.
And like Daniel.
Amen.
Eh?
Amen.
Spirit of excellence in your studies, but also in your calling afterwards. Is there someone in your family called Daniel?
Daniel.
Hmm? Are you so good at mathematics? Like I see somebody who is almost a mathematical genius. Is it you?
I think my brother was an accountant.
No, it's like more than just profession. Like really somebody who is really good at. What's your brother called?
Colin.
Now this is what I hear the Lord saying about you. That you're going to get something to do before you finish studying, eh?
Amen.
Some work to do.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
But I hear the word excellence. Eh? I hear the word excellence. Eh? The spirit of excellence rests upon you.
Amen.
Now from this day onwards, everything you do, you come out on top. Eh?
Amen.
You come out on top, and Amen. It is, and by on top I mean on top,
Amen.
Completely on top,
Amen.
And like there is a light that shines over you,
Amen.
And I hear that sickness in your family, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus,
Amen.
In the name of Jesus,
Amen.
You lay your hands on sick people and they get healed,
Amen.
You like this hand, you lay your hands on people, now just try it out. Just go and try it out, okay? And don't fear. Eh? Just find somebody who is sick of something major, which can be verified, and lay your hands on them, eh? And release the healing power of God, eh? Because it is in you and it's going to flow out of you, eh?
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your joy is in this place. Spirit of excellence, I thank you, Father, because each and every person is touched here this day, and you give us, Father, the grace to trust in you at all times and to believe that you are able to bring it to come to pass, that we shall not doubt in our hearts that you, Lord, who has selected us, will bring it to pass, and nothing can stand in your way, in the name of Jesus. Now the Lord says here that nothing can frustrate your purpose. Nothing can frustrate your purpose. Even if you have had scenarios where you are about to get something and it somehow vanishes, it almost melts away as if it was never there, offers and so on. Now if you are that kind of person, now your story changes here today in the name of Jesus, and now what is yours is yours. Nobody can stand in the way of it. No person can stand in the way of it. Even some boss is being removed for your sake, the Lord says. Somebody is being shifted for your sake, in the name of Jesus. Because the King has given. Repeat after me, say in the name of Jesus. I connect to the wealth of God that comes without struggle, without toil. In Jesus' name, I decree that I am one of those whom the scripture speaks about, for whom others gather, that it might come to me. Now I connect with that wealth in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, for jobs that are being issued here. Those who are seeking for jobs, say amen. Amen, amen. Jobs
the coming week in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father. I connect to what is mine. Say, I connect to what is mine. They gather, I partake, because the king has issued a decree to that. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you because we are lifted up. We thank you, Father, for your uplifting. We thank you because we are lifted up. We are lifted up in every area of our lives. We grow in our trust in you. We grow in our finances. We grow in our dominion and areas of influence. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.